We all could use some encouragement, and we'll find it together today in the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. The Encouraging Word. Today we bring you the conclusion of his message called A Journey from the Bottom to the Top. But Dr. Don wants you to know we're here in this journey with you. Love to pray with you at 866-899-WORD or online at tewonline.org. The Encouraging. Now here's Dr. Don Wilton.
It seems to me we're going backwards here in history, doesn't it? Well, this beast that is seen is a combination of all of the worst parts of the whole history of mankind. And here John the Apostle is looking back and he's seeing this beast that not only resembles the Grecian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, but also the Babylonian Empire. And the dragon gave to this beast his power and his throne, and also gave to him great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished. And what did they do? They followed the beast. Who followed the beast? The whole world followed the beast. This beast had great power. Men worshiped the dragon because he had been given authority to the beast. And they also worshiped the beast and asked, who is like the beast and who can make war against him? You see, this was a warlike beast. He had authority, he had power, he was ruthless. Now look at verse 5. Not only that, but the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for how long? 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who are alive in heaven. Now, just hold on a minute there. Anyone here ever wondered if we're going to be alive in heaven or not? What God's word says about heaven is remarkable. And not only that, but Armageddon has not yet taken place. And in fact, we're talking about moving through the tribulation period, we have yet another confirmation concerning the rapture of the church, which I believe is going to take place prior to the tribulation period. Why? Because God's word says that the beast who is upon the earth is going to be conscious of those who are alive in heaven. Well, who's alive in heaven? Well, you go back to chapter 7 and verse 13 and you'll read about us. And you go back to chapter 7 and verse 10 and the Bible said thousands and thousands were attending him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood there before him. And in Revelation chapter 13, the Bible says that all those who are living in heaven become subject to the blasphemy of this one who is the Antichrist. He not only blasphemed the name of God, he not only slandered his name, he blasphemed and slandered the place in which God dwells together with all those who are alive and living in him. And so what did he do with this? Verse 7, he was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. Little does he know what's about to come down. You know, it's no wonder if you just flip back to chapter 7 of the book of Daniel, you're going to see that Daniel actually, I don't know if there's a little gloating here, but in verse 11, he continues to watch all this going on. What is he watching going on? He's watching what the Antichrist is doing during the tribulation period, all the boasting and the blasphemies and the way he is slandering against God and his people and those who are alive in heaven and his dwelling place. And so Daniel says, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to keep on looking at this fella until he is completely destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. Well, evidently in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, the devil doesn't know what's coming down the tube yet. He was given in verse 7 power to make war against the saints and to conquer them, and he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. Here it is. All inhabitants of the earth. Excuse me, where are these people who are worshiping the beast? They are still on the earth. Why are they still on the earth? Because they weren't raptured. They are partners participating in the great tribulation. And in fact, the Bible tells us exactly who these people are, just in case we might have missed it. The Bible qualifies who the people are who are at this point referred to as the inhabitants of the earth. They are all those whose names have not been written in the book of life, which is the possession of or belonging to the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. Wow! What a statement about the superiority of Jesus Christ and the God of our fathers. Revelation chapter 13, it's as though the apostle is saying here, just in case you need to be reminded about something, here we've got this pitiful Antichrist trying to do what he's trying to do, and I just want to remind you something, that all authority, all power, all dominion, all glory belongs to Jesus Christ, who was exalted and seated down at the right hand of the Father. And just in case you need to be reminded of something, when your name is written down, it is written down in glory in the Lamb's book of life by the blood of Jesus Christ, who was slain from before the foundation of the world, which is to say, I want you to know, Antichrist, I want you to know, Satan, I want you to know that God is absolutely sovereign and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. So it's no wonder that he says in verse 9, he who has an ear, let him hear. I think what he's saying to me there is, Don Wilton, it's one thing to preach about this, but are you listening? Are you paying attention? Well, let's go back to Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening, very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. And while I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up from among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully. I believe we are reading here about the revival of the Roman Empire, known for its untold cruelty, known for having burned Christians and banished John and crucified Peter and beheaded Paul and butchered people and crucified Jesus and persecuted Christians. Rome has a track record, the 10 horns. How do we know this is future? It's future because the European Union, the common market of the European nations, has never comprised of 10 nations. It points to the future. France and Italy, Holland, Germany, Spain, Portugal, Switzerland, Luxembourg, Austria, Great Britain is the last surviving member to opt out, to remain out, not to opt out, but to refuse to be partnered together in the European nations. And it's going to be interesting. I watched that. Rather interesting, and I know some of you might find this the most boring thing you've ever heard in your life, but I actually enjoy tuning in sometimes to C-SPAN and just listening to the British House of Commons. And I'll just sit there and what along with them and hear as they applaud one another and debate from the Prime Minister on down, because I find it very fascinating to hear what they're saying, particularly concerning the European Common Market and the development of strategies that seek to unify Europe under one common denominator. If you go with me to Revelation chapter 17 very quickly. But in Revelation chapter 17, we are provided with yet another insight into the meaning of Daniel chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8. There's a parallel track here between chapter 13 of the book of Revelation and chapter 17 of the book of Revelation. So I'm going to just read a few verses here in chapter 17 of the book of Revelation. I'm going to read to you from verse 6. This is dealing with the woman on the beast. I saw that the woman was drunk and with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore the testimony to Jesus Christ. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Then the angel said to me, "Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast she rides." Here it is, which has seven heads and 10 horns. You can flip-flop now between Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, and Revelation chapter 17. Now look at verse 8. We've got an explanation here. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, but will yet come up out of the abyss and then will go to his destruction. Well, that's exactly what Scripture tells us about the Antichrist. This here is, I believe, a clue to the identity of the Antichrist. Some people believe that it's a clue to the origin of the Antichrist, and I'm not going to dispute that. Some people have said, and I think it has a lot of value to it, I'm not entirely sure, but that the beast which you saw once was. That is why many people, of which I am one, but I don't fall out of fellowship with people over things like this, which once was the old Roman Empire. It once was, and it collapsed. And now is not. It's not in function. What John is saying here at this point is that the Roman Empire once was a great empire. Now it is not. It has collapsed. It no longer is the empire that it once was, but yet it is going to, in the future, at this point in time, come up out of the abyss and then is going to go on after that to destruction.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of Dr. Don Wilton's message in just a moment. But as we take this break, we want to remind you we're here for you. We're connecting 24 hours a day on our website, keyboard to keyboard at tewonline.org, and on the phone anytime, day or night. As Dr. Don would say, we'd be thrilled to be your 2 a.m. friend to pray for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Again, that's 24 hours a day. Now back to today's message, a journey from the bottom to the top with Dr. Don Wilton.
You've got the Roman Empire. You got the collapse of the Roman Empire. You've got the revival of the Roman Empire. And then you've got the destruction of the Roman Empire as epitomized in the Antichrist, who becomes the indisputable, undisputed heavyweight champion of the Roman Empire. He gobbles everybody up. He takes complete authority and control, and he rules with an iron rod. And if you don't have the number 666 written on your forehead, you are in for the high jump. You can read about that in those preceding verses. Now look at verse 8 of Revelation 17. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction. The inhabitants of the earth whose names, now we seem to have read this before, haven't we, in chapter 13, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world. Why from the creation of the world? Because God is the one who is the owner and the author of the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. These people who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, what will happen to them? They will be astonished when they see the beast, because he once was, he now is not, and yet will come. They're going to say, goodness gracious me, if only we had known. That's what they're going to say. We've seen revivals of empires before. Germany's a very good example of that. What Hitler was trying to do, he was trying to resurrect the German Empire. And guess what? He did it. One of the interesting things that I've done in my life is I have read Mein Kampf, because I wanted to try and understand the mind of a madman. And if you go and read Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler, written while he was in prison during the exercise of the Weimar Republic under the rulership of Hindenburg, you're going to understand that everything that dominated his mind was nothing more than to revive the pride of the German people and the German Empire. And if there is one thing that we struggle to understand, my friends, it is the absolute fierceness of cultural pride and identity. The German people came out of the First World War. They were crushed and they were defeated. Their land had been taken from them. The spoils of war had been divided across the European continent. And all of a sudden, one little corporal who was a self-styled artist went to prison and masterminded Mein Kampf. And when he came out around the time of 1930 and he began to seek strange alliances with Hindenburg and all the other rulers, and all the time he was putting into place a system in which his generals were going to rise to the forefront, so that when the night of the long knives came, there was literally the murder of hundreds upon hundreds of leaders and rulers. And what Hitler did was he put himself into place and he began to plan massive parades like the 1936 Olympic Games held in Berlin itself, where the peoples of the world began to march and say, Heil Hitler! Heil Hitler! Heil Hitler! Heil Hitler! Everything for the Wehrmacht, the Third Reich, Nazi Germany, and the German cultural heritage began to rise, and the German armies began to march across Europe. And even people like Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain were duped and flew back to the shores of England with pieces of paper claiming peace for our time. Well, friends, is it hard to imagine a revived Roman Empire? Surely not. I believe Benito Mussolini and his fascist organization gave it their best shot in the 1930s and 40s, but Benito Mussolini, despite the Berlin Axis and the alliances that he had with the German Empire, he just didn't have what it took. And besides that, it just wasn't God's time. But he gave it a jolly good shot. He ended up hanging upside down ignominiously in the streets of Milan. And people came by and looked into the face of Benito Mussolini hanging upside down in disgrace, naked for everybody to see. But God's word says that somewhere out of the scheme of things, one is going to rise out, because he once was, now is not, and yet he will come. Back to Daniel chapter 7. You know, we're still in verses 7 and 8. I'm trying very hard to get to verses 9 and 10, because that's the good part. All right, I want to read this to you again. After that, in my vision, At night I looked, and before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening, very powerful, and had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts because it had 10 horns. And while I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them. That word there literally, that phrase there literally means that he was of their origin. He was among them. They were fraternity brothers. They were political allies. They all were speaking the same language. But this little horn was preparing the table so that he could do what he intended to do. And that was, he was going to uproot all the other horns, and he was going to rise up to become the general of all generals. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look how I'm bringing us together. I'm bringing peace to the world. I'm in control. Please don't be concerned. Everything's just going to be all right. That's the language of the Antichrist. Please don't get all mixed up in all this religious stuff. Let's not go overboard. Moderation is the name of the game. It's okay if you want to believe what you want to believe, but don't kind of stretch a point too much. Let's not get too excited about this. Going to church on Sunday morning is one thing, but there's nothing worse than a religious fanatic. In any case, God is a loving God. He wouldn't expect anybody to go overboard. And he doesn't mind if you want to just have a little fun anyway. And so it's at this point that he looks up and he sees the God of heaven seated on his throne. Do you know one of the things that I love when I study the Word of God, which enriches my heart so much, as I know He does your heart, is I just love the fact that God always reminds me that He's the God of heaven. And you know, it seems to me here in Daniel, there is a sense, Brother Phil, can you kind of feel it? Daniel going through this horrific experience. Just think of what Daniel has been from the time he was taken into the king's court as a young man, and he was forced to do certain things and bow down, and he didn't. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, you know, if anybody was ever kind of pulled through life backwards, Daniel's got to get an A+ for stickability. He just kept on. I mean, this man had as many setbacks as I could imagine anybody. And here he comes to Daniel chapter 7. God gives him this incredibly horrific vision. Can you imagine that? Have you ever had a real bad dream and woken up the next morning and said, boy, am I glad. I'm glad, you know, when you've had a lion chasing you and you just can't get away and he starts to eat you bit by bit, starting on your toes there, and or you're just about to fall over a cliff. We've all had nightmares and all that. Well, here is Daniel. And Daniel is looking, here comes a beast. Okay, God, this one, this is the Babylon. Oh, here comes another one. Not another. Oh, look at him. He's awful. I mean, and here comes another one. And then there's another one. There's a fourth beast. And the Bible says the fourth beast is just more terrifying. And this is what's going to happen. And he's going to blaspheme against the name of the God that Daniel has stood up for. He is blaspheming against the God of his fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. And by this time, Nebuchadnezzar must have just felt absolutely exasperated. And then he looks up and he sees the Ancient of Days seated upon his throne. And people of every tribe and every nation gathered around his throne, worshiping him. And in his heart, I think he just was rejuvenated. And then he's kind of got to look back again. And so he writes and he says, well, I look back, but I'm just going to keep looking until this irritation is stone graveyard dead. Why? Because of the one who ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father, to whom the Father gave all power and dominion and glory forever and forever. I want to leave us with the indisputable fact that Jesus Christ was, that he is, and he always will be totally victorious.
I pray that you would not be like me, who spent many years in the church knowing about God, but not knowing him personally. Today could be the day, and if you have questions, let us discover the answers in the Bible itself, God's encouraging word. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And perhaps you want to share with us what Dr. Don's talking about now.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that he died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus and I give him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together, because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ.
Again, if the Lord's spoken to your heart, give us a call at 866-899-9673 or meet us online at tewonline.org, where you'll discover about this great book, Jesus in Me.
In the midst of life's changes and losses, we each need a friend, a confidant, someone who will come alongside us and share every step of our journey. Someone who will listen to us, advocate for us, and comfort us. Someone we can trust. This month, for your gift of support to the Encouraging Word, we will send you the inspiring book, Jesus in Me, by Anne Graham Lotz. In Jesus in Me, Lotz draws on biblical knowledge and personal stories, including her recent cancer diagnosis, to help us understand the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request your copy of Jesus in Me today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry, sharing God's truth around the world. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening today.
That number again is 866-899-WORD, 866-899-9673, or meet us online at tewonline.org. Tomorrow, we've got a wonderful message called Now for the Good News that's coming up on the next edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton.